This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 18. Today's guest is Ms. Myrna Bakun, founder and CEO of GreenPie.net.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome again to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is the show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. Today's hosts are Trina Marty and myself, JC Preston. We're part of the crew at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people do passion-filled work and more importantly, giving them the resources and community to share it with others. Today's episode is brought to you by HostGator, your one-stop shop for your web hosting needs. Since it's the beginning of the year, I'm sure there's plenty of things you've set yourself to get done this year. One of those is that you might be finally getting your own website up, and especially if you're wanting to get known by others. HostGator gives you 24/7 live support on chat, phone, and email. And if you're a beginner and just want to get something up, they even have an easy-to-use website builder. If you're a little bit more hardcore like I was, then they even have a one-click WordPress installer, which is pretty cool. And they can even help you with ads and marketing if you need it. And for Angles of Latitude listeners, they're offering a discount on all their hosting packages, so visit newinceptions.com/HostGator to get started on your new website. So what's up, everyone? Hope you've had a great week. You might notice a little something about my sound. That's because I got myself a new mic set up. I did some shopping via Chase's review over at Fizzle and landed me a new mic system, including the Audio-Technica AT875R. Really great mic. You can check out a picture over in the show note extras of my new setup. And today's talk, it's going to be with someone that I met through the foundation as well, and just like Cam in session 8, she's going to on to other and possibly bigger projects. Myrna now has the bug to try out other projects on her own, and in fact, I got to knowing Myrna through back in earlier 2015, March or so, and as she made a LinkedIn group course that I thought sounded pretty interesting at the time. One of the couple of the things that she mentioned back then was LinkedIn community groups, free leads. I just simply had to figure out what it was all about, so I took the course. As I was taking the course, I was quickly amazed by how thorough she was in teaching and showing exactly what it was that she was doing. In fact, one of the best course makers I've probably seen in a while. Chase is a good example. Another one out there might be Brenda Burchard. Pat's a good example of other course makers. That's who I would compare her to. And apparently, there's actually a good reason for that. She has a background in video editing and has been a yoga instructor as well. So two things that definitely add to her experience. Moving on to the interview with Mir today, however, we're going to be talking about a number of things, including how she got into entrepreneurship and more specifically the foundation, how she got into building communities on LinkedIn, why she loves LinkedIn compared to other social media, and the reboot of her LinkedIn course. Be sure to stick around after the conversation, as I'll be giving a special link for Angles of Latitude listeners to get a heck of a deal on Mir's LinkedIn Lead Gen Formula course. And if you have any questions about the course or the show in general, leave a question in the comments via the show notes or email us at heyguys@newinceptions.com. And I'll be back after the conversation to fill in anything we might have missed. What's up, everybody? It's me, JC, and I'm here with Trin today.
Hey.
And today we're talking with Myrna Bakun. Mir is the CEO of GreenPie, a business coach and LinkedIn marketing guru. She's
launching her new LinkedIn course called LinkedIn Lead Gen Formula, which is a step-by-step guide on how to improve your LinkedIn advertising and grow your business over LinkedIn. LinkedIn Lead Gen Formula is actually a result of 2 years of extensive research of marketing opportunities over LinkedIn, where she was able to generate over $45,000 and get over 10,000 high quality leads completely free over LinkedIn, which means, that's right, not spending a single dollar on advertising. Now she wants to teach business owners and entrepreneurs how to leverage on LinkedIn as an automated lead gen and marketing and sales machine to get free leads, build relationships, and grow their business using the strategy she developed. Mir, welcome to the show, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Mir. Welcome.
Thanks, guys, for having me on the show.
So, kind of going into your background here a little bit, you know, frankly, I'm really excited to have you on the show because your perspective on how to generate leads is hugely different than what I'm used to. And I think you also have a background and a story that I think a lot of people will be able to relate to. So, tell us a little bit of how you became an entrepreneur, you know, got into entrepreneurship and what you were doing before met you through the foundation, if you would.
Okay, guys, thanks for having me on the podcast. I'm really happy to be here. Well, my story is a bit different than you probably are used to having on the podcast. I'm actually from Zagreb, which is in Croatia, which is a really small country in Europe. And a lot of people actually, when I started with my entrepreneurship kind of path, actually didn't know, you know, where Croatia is. And they were like, where are you from? And then I had to explain, and I used only one word to explain my country, which was Dubrovnik, or how you say it in America, Dubrovnik. And then they would be like, oh my God, I know that, like that, you know, that town has a country around it. And I'm like, yes. You know, that country is where I come from. So before I started the foundation,
that's King of Thrones reference, by the way.
Oh yeah,
right.
That's King Landing. Yeah. Now everybody knows it by the Game of Thrones, which is even more awesome. Yeah. So before I started the foundation, I was working as a basically professional camera operator and a video editor and motion designer, and then I got the kind of entrepreneurial call in the sense of like, I wanted to get, you know, better income. I wanted to kind of not trade my time for money at that point, at least in the way that I was doing back then. But I was also doing a lot of other stuff. And then I saw a video when I was actually doing some video editing. I saw a video where there was Dane from the foundation and he was talking about the first batch of foundation. I was like, oh, you know, this is, I don't know, this is a scam. You know, you can't build a business out of nothing. And then I was like, something inside me was like, I need to push that button, you know, for some reason. But the problem was that I only had money for 1 month.
Wow.
Because $800, well, you know, the foundation was $800 per month. And $800 per month is a lot of money in Croatia. It's like you can live a month and a half off of it. Mm-hmm. So at that point, and this is like a really true story, I had $800 in my account, like my savings. That was all that I had. And I was like, I didn't know why I wanted to push the button, right? And I pushed that button and I was like, the worst thing that can happen is that I lose $800, right? But if it's meant to be, and if it's meant for me to do this, then I'm going to find bigger video editing gigs and I'm going to be able to pay for the foundation. So I was looking for the sign from above. And what actually happened is that I started to get bigger video editing gigs and I was able to pay through the whole foundation. And that's actually where my entrepreneurial path kind of started, which was pretty, really crazy. It was like a film scene, but it really happened. So
that's amazing.
Do you remember where you actually, how you came across Dane's video by any chance or?
Yeah. I was looking at it. I was looking at it from my computer because a client was asking for, like, I want a video like this. I want a video to be made like this. And that's how I saw the video.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And I was at my house, at my home in Zagreb. And I was like,
Yeah, because you know. I actually heard Dane. I was one of the people that heard him about him through Pat Flynn's podcast. And so it's just I'm always kind of curious on how people will hear about different sources, because I mean, it really is about partnerships and making sure that you, you know, get to connect with people and get your name out there as many different ways as you can. So yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that was, I actually didn't know anything about entrepreneurship, and I'm like, I was in Croatia, like I didn't know anything about, you know, the US vision of entrepreneurship or startups or anything like that. I just saw the video and I was like, yeah, this production is pretty awesome. And then as I was looking at the video, I was like, I want to do that. Like, I want to have like recurring revenue or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually didn't turn out so easy as it kind of seemed at that time, but it did get me going. So
you were a 2D motion designer. I found it really interesting when I saw that. It's kind of like very different from your other pursuits. So are you still a 2D motion designer, or is that now just in the past?
No. I'm a woman with a lot of layers. So yeah, I still do video editing and filming, because I was working in Croatia. I was working in one of the biggest media companies as a motion, as a basically video editor and a camera operator. And I just, when I started like to do my SaaS, that was about 2013 when I was in the foundation.
Right.
I was doing it professionally until 2014 when I incorporated my company. And then I just needed to focus on GreenPie, because I didn't have time to do motion design for clients any longer. But I still do it for my company when I need to build videos or courses or whatever. And if some really interesting project comes along, I do it, because filming and video editing is like the most creative job in the world. I love it. I love visual.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome. I can sit for 8 hours or 10 hours in front of a computer and just like, you know, edit and edit and, you know, not sleep, not eat, not do anything, just like play. And for me, it's just, it's about creativity. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
So yeah, I still love it. I don't think that I could ever not do it, because it's a skill that you learn. And if you like to play, then, yeah, I still do it. It's not behind me, definitely.
Oh, so you're definitely a Renaissance soul. You've got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, multitasking.
Jill of all trades, if it were. You just mentioned GreenPie there. And, you know, before we get off the foundation too much, I was thinking that, you know, just wanted to kind of cap that off a little bit. What kind, besides GreenPie, how would you measure the success that you've seen coming out of the foundation? And I mean, and what all have you gotten out of it?
Well, for me, the path was really much different than for a lot of people, especially in the US, because at that time when I was starting the foundation, it wasn't only about that I didn't have any business skills. I didn't know what business was all about. And, you know, in the class 2013, when I was there, there weren't as much resources from the foundation as there are now. Okay. And there was no app or anything like that. We just had some things, you know, and Word documents, and just, it was basically, I figured that either I'm going to try and make it on my own with some guidance or not. At that point in Croatia, for example, you couldn't get paid via PayPal. There was no PayPal.
Wow.
Mm.
So like the whole kind of philosophy of like pre-selling and all that other things, for me, it was 3 or 4 or 10 times harder, because first of all, people didn't know where I'm from. It was hard to do ID extraction, because it's just people don't trust you if you're not a US person. And then I actually did pre-sales, but it was such a crazy, crazy way of doing it that I had to really, really figure out how to use whatever was taught in the foundation into my kind of perspective from a small country in Europe with no PayPal or any kind of resources. So it was really a challenge. And maybe that's maybe the reason why it was so, so challenging was the reason that I kind of didn't give myself excuses. So I was working as a full-time, you know, motion designer, video editor, doing my DID extraction things in the night and so on and so forth. And I was kind of intimidating. It was intimidating for me to go into the, you know, talk to people from US, and nobody actually knew from like my family or anybody that what I was doing, because if I told them what I was doing, they would be like, you're crazy, you're spending, you know, a month salary, you know, on something where you have to then go and sell things that don't exist and so on and so forth. So, and it felt pretty lonely because it was really hard for me to connect with anyone, because I was just, you know, I was from Croatia, and I, most of the times I had feeling that I'm on my own, but because of that feeling, I didn't kind of give myself an excuse to just to give up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the biggest takeaway for me from the foundation wasn't the foundation itself. It was me. I mean, it was the foundation, of course, but if I wasn't in the, you know, really pushing it like crazy. And now if you ask me why I did it, I have no idea why I was pushing like crazy. Like, I don't know. It was just something that happened at that point in my time, in my life. And the biggest takeaway would definitely be that I grew as a person, that I got some skills that I never thought that I would do, that I got much more confident. I learned about business through my own mistakes and through many, many, many challenges that people from US or UK or Australia or any normal countries can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, again, this is like a film, you know, story, but it really was. I was pushing like a maniac. It was unreal. If I was to do it again, I have no idea would I have the strength. And so I think it was just that point in time that it was happening, and I just seized the opportunity. And I'm not a quitter. I don't know how to quit. Sometimes I would need to learn when to let things go.
Me too.
But yeah, absolutely. So at that point, you know, I was just, because for me, I was thinking like everybody's succeeding and it's so easy for them. Like they do pre-sales and they have PayPal, and they could do Stripe, but they can do whatever they want in the US, and I have nothing. I have no resources to go around. So,
yeah. The takeaway from that is don't let excuses stop you, because frankly, you can figure out a way, is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. You can always figure out a way if you want to. So right. I'm not good with like excuses from other people. Like I don't buy it at all.
Right. So here's what interests me in your story. Thank you for sharing. In my own coaching, I've had to, like, when I was in a coaching relationship with another coach, I also experienced family skepticism. And you talk a little bit about that. Can you share with us a little more about that? How did you overcome or handle the family skepticism? And how did you show them that that you were able to pull it off?
Well, it's also like a really funny story. I'm full of stories. Haha.
Oh, no. We all love it.
Well, actually, my dad, he's a software developer, right? Not only a software developer, he has his own company with software for like the last 20 years. So I didn't kind of want at any point for my family to know what I was doing for a number of reasons. Because first of all, it seemed completely crazy. Secondly, I wanted to do it on my own. And thirdly, I don't think that they would understand kind of the mindset that I was in at that point, where I would think that I can do it, or I'm just going to drop dead on the floor. It was more of my own path and experience and journey that I probably need to do with myself, by myself. But I know that a lot of people, like especially entrepreneurs, have a challenge with families not understanding that desire, that inner thing that's just driving you to do crazy things that you basically would never imagine that you can do. So what I did is I didn't tell anyone what I'm doing. I told a couple of my friends and my sister, but I was kind of keeping them away from it all. The point when I talked to my parents, for example, to my dad especially, which was a big challenge for me because I didn't know how he would react, was when I actually did the pre-sales, when I did what was considered hard in the US and unimaginable in Croatia. Like, people were like, are you insane? Are you insane? And wow. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'm insane, but I pre-sold something that doesn't exist and now I have to deliver. Now I have a completely different problem. And that's when I told him, when it was basically over, and when I had kind of the idea that the most biggest part and the most hardest part of that whole kind of idea extraction and the foundation thing was over, and boy, was I wrong that it was just the beginning. But I told them in time when there's nothing that they could have said, because if I told anyone before, they would be like, that's absolutely no way that you can do that. And I just didn't want like any kind of negative energy right. around me, people yeah. telling me that, you know, I can't do something, because I knew it was really hard, especially with the resources that I had, but I didn't want to take no for an answer. I was just like completely focused on just doing it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's so amazing. And I absolutely resonate with you about that. I have a similar story. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks for asking.
All right. So, we covered your background and how you started in 2D, how you started the foundation. So let's talk about GreenPie. What's GreenPie's mission? And when did you found the company again? Can you tell us the date?
Actually, GreenPie was founded on the 7th of January 2014. Yeah. So there's a story behind it too, of course, because I'm full of stories and the story goes on. At the point where I did my pre-sales and everything, I actually had to deliver a product, right? So
right.
GreenPie is actually imagined from the idea extraction as an application that would enable nutrition providers, which means especially nutritionists and dietitians, to work online and to work with their clients online in real time. So GreenPie is imagined and it is now a SaaS.
Wow.
What I didn't know at that time is that, you know, for healthcare applications, that was like 3 years ago. Now it's hard to make a healthcare application. And 3 years ago, it was even harder because like all the, you know, HIPAA compliancy rules right. and so on and so forth.
The regulations.
Absolutely. So at that point, I had pre-sales and I had to deliver. I was scared to death because I had no prior experience with software whatsoever. I didn't communicate with my dad about it because I wanted to do it by myself and learn by myself.
Right.
So I was working as a motion designer and I was paying and bootstrapping from that job to pay my developer at that point to start to work on something, because my whole point with the pre-sales wasn't to make a lot of money. It was just to validate the idea, because it was really hard for me to get the money and they had to do a wire transfer. And a lot of people in the US, like, what's a wire transfer? And I'm like, you know, there's a bank. It's a building where you go in and you put money in.
Whoa.
And it goes, whoa.
So wait, they have Western, Croatia has Western Union, but no PayPal.
Yeah, they had Western Union, but I didn't know it at that point. So trust me, guys, it was like crazy. It was like hacking on the most unbelievable way. And
yeah,
I was doing like those two jobs, and then I couldn't bootstrap anymore. So I went into something that's called Zagreb Entrepreneurship Incubator, which were they were trying to teach me basically how to do, you know, I don't know, lean startup canvas. And I was like, guys, are you kidding me? Like, I have people that gave me money. I need some real help, not, you know, building a canvas, because I know what's my market. I pre-sold to my market, like whatever. And then at that point, I went into Slovenia, because there was an award for 10,000 euros. And I'm like, I need those 10,000 euros because I need to pay for the design. I don't have money for that. Like, I am completely broke. I'm doing, you know, I'm bootstrapping, and I can't bootstrap any longer. So I was there, and that was the first pitch that I ever did on that conference. I didn't win the $10,000, but some investors from Bulgarian Accelerator Launch Hub, they saw me, and basically 2 months later, they invested in the company and we incorporated in 2014. So I actually found investors and so on and so forth. And basically we're incorporated from 2014 with a lot of challenges and a lot of learnings that I kind of got from 2014 onwards. You know, depending on, is it software development? Is it healthcare software development, pitching, investors, fundraising, finding the right people for the company? It was just like a really, really crazy learning point from there on. So now GreenPie is a company that we have about 50 or even more clients at this point. There's only three of us in the company because we are trying to be self-sustainable at this point. We don't want to raise any more money. That would be really easy. But the problem that I found is that when you raise funds, then you have to play by somebody else's rules, mm-hmm. which is right. really hard for me. And it's okay to some extent when it doesn't start to kind of clash with my idea of freedom and why I'm doing this, why I want to be an entrepreneur, why, you know, because I want to be able to take my computer and go, you know, for 2 months on a beach and work from the beach, because I really hate, you know, snow, and I don't want to be anywhere where there's winter, for example. Does that
right,
make sense?
Right. Yeah.
So, and when investors come into companies, then it's really a complete new ball game. So at this point, we are kind of self-sustainable and trying to do much slower development, but much smarter development. And we're growing slowly, but we're growing. And that's the most important thing for me at this point. And I would consider that a success, because a lot of investors, they want you to grow really fast, really quick. And in healthcare, it's I don't really think it's possible to be a unicorn in healthcare grow fast in healthcare. It's just, it doesn't work that way.
Long-term sustainable growth is definitely the way to go, especially when working with humans and their health. So
I just met a not too long ago, or just had a Fizzle meetup. And one of the guys that showed up there, Darren Thomas, has this American healthcare innovations company that he runs. And anyway, that was his background, was all health related. And the reason he showed up to the meeting specifically was that he had just invested into a SEO company. And he was just really kind of, when he bought the company or into the company, definitely out of his element, but he was given the exact same reasons that you were saying, is that there's not much growth there. What growth there it is, it's slow, and there's so many regulations and blah 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 blah. And it's just like, yeah, watch the health. I mean, it's constantly growing, but you know, there's a lot of downside to that as well. So anyway, yeah,
a lot of investors, basically their job is to invest money and get the return on investment as soon as possible, which is normal, and those are the rules of the game. You either take them or you don't. But with healthcare, it's different. There is a lot of money in healthcare, and the whole point with being a startup or a software company in healthcare is to just be there for a longer period of time. The longer you sustain and the longer you're there, the better chances are that you'll make millions, basically. Mm-hmm. But it takes time to get there, and persistence, and you know, a lot of teamwork. So we're at that point. We're not making millions, but we are growing slowly. And that's the most important thing for me, because in 2 or 3 years, I think that we're going to be in a really, really good sweet spot.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. At that point, you have built up so much trust in your clientele that you'll be able to be able to probably go on word of mouth, right?
Yeah, I mean, the whole point is that like 3 years after I did idea extraction, the idea of the software that we have is still there. It's still needed. But the problem is that the, you know, there's on one side, there are the regulations, on the other side, the, you know, nutritionists and nutrition providers and dietitians, they're people that, you know, they're doctors and they're still learning about business. And it's really hard for like any doctor, like not only nutritionists or whatever, doctors are now experiencing the huge shift of having to work from their kind of hospital and their little drawers with folders into computers, which they don't understand. So it's a huge movement, not only in the space where I'm in, which is nutrition. It's a huge movement in the space of healthcare itself. And it's not a question, will it happen? It's happening already, and there's no going around it, because people want to be able to access their doctors on their mobile phones. The question is, how long will it take the healthcare industry and doctors and whatever to adopt to new changes? And I'm ready to wait for that, because there's a gold mine when that happens, and we're going to be ready in our company. So the slow growth actually is something that I see as a good thing for GreenPi at this point.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to see what's coming down the pipeline for you. So GreenPi is all about being a nutrition SaaS, helping nutritionists and dietitians come online with their businesses. So, JC and I met you via your LinkedIn course. What is that about? How does that fit in with the Procure Green Pie? Or is that a separate business?
Well, that's something that I would now start to consider maybe going into a separate business, because when you have a company with investors, you want to keep things separated. You don't want to have one company that's focused on one thing, because when you sell it in 2, 3, 5 years, you don't want to have a lot of different things that you're working on. Like, oh, now you're working a bit of on LinkedIn and healthcare and so on and so forth. So you basically want to keep things separated and focused.
Right.
The whole LinkedIn course actually was like a result of me having to figure out a way how to get traction and clients without spending money on marketing. Because when we, in GreenPie, when we raised the round, it was really a small, small seed round.
Wow.
I mean, it's considered a small seed round. And the whole money that we had went into development, of course. So we still didn't have money to market or to advertise, and we needed to produce results for ourselves and for the investors as well. So I had to figure out a way how to get, with no money, clients, and how to advertise and market the company for $0. And I just had to figure it out. And I was using LinkedIn before that. I was just like, I had my profile and so on and so forth. But I started to work a bit more with LinkedIn and so on and so forth. And I figured out a strategy that enabled me in a year to make the revenue for my company, to generate leads on autopilot that are high quality. And basically now I don't use anything. Like, I don't use Facebook. I don't pay for traffic. Like, I think it's absolutely crazy to pay for traffic when you have a platform like LinkedIn. And the only reason why people are not using LinkedIn is because they don't know the potential. That's one thing. And secondly, they don't know how to use it. But as you know, if you learn Facebook ads and you need to, if you've never done Facebook ads, you need to learn how to do it, or, you know, give or pay somebody to do it for you with LinkedIn. And if you understand how it works, you can do everything by yourself. So basically the whole strategy with LinkedIn came about because of pure necessity for me to get results that are long-term and that is like real traction, not, you know, for me to pay, you know, $200 for Facebook. And then I said, oh, you know, I had 100 clicks. And how many clients did you have? No, none. So So there was no space for that. Basically, I need to find something that really works, something that really produces results where I can say I didn't spend any money. And we have 4, 5, 6 clients off of, you know, the way that I use LinkedIn. And I've been able to do it. So now I got people asking me, how did I do it? And I basically need to, and I'm just finishing the course. It's going to launch in a couple of days, about where I'm going to teach people exactly what I did, how to use LinkedIn step by step. I'm going to show them everything that they need to know about LinkedIn and what they don't need to know about LinkedIn. I'm not going to show them that and bug them with information that they don't need. So I'm just going to teach them how to do it, how to have the same results as I did, because it's all about strategy. If you have the right strategy, then everything's cool. So that's how the LinkedIn course basically came about. Now it's going to be separated. At this point, it's going to be separated from GreenPie, and who knows what's going to happen in a couple of months or years. You never know.
So when you began GreenPie, you were just experimenting with LinkedIn. You weren't really invested in it, but now you're invested in it. So I guess you would say, do you love LinkedIn?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the most awesome platform because it's a social media platform. It's a marketing sales platform. It's a business platform. And unlike, for example, Facebook, you know, Facebook is a social media platform where people basically go to meet friends and find people who they haven't seen for a long time. And it's a personal network. It's a personal social network. LinkedIn, on the other hand, is really a business network. People go there to do business, and it's completely different. It's completely different when you say on Facebook to somebody, you know, let's do business, and when you say on LinkedIn. So there's a complete difference. The way that I started using LinkedIn is that I had a profile. I didn't know how to use it. You know, I didn't know what were the opportunities. And then I saw, like, it was like maybe 2 years ago, I saw a webinar of this guy explaining a bit about LinkedIn groups. and my head exploded. I was like, I have to do this. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it was like he wanted me to pay for the course, but I didn't have money at that time to pay for the course. I actually had to figure it out by myself. And I was like, oh, okay, so I saw this 60-minute webinar, and I created my own LinkedIn group. And then 2 years, I was doing it by myself, experimenting, seeing what works for me, what doesn't work for me. That doesn't mean that I didn't have some LinkedIn trainings on the side, but basically on those trainings, I didn't learn as much as, you know, I learned some tricks and tips that I wasn't aware of, but basically I figured things by myself with just like tries and errors. Mm-hmm. So I love LinkedIn because I think it's the most powerful platform for marketing and lead generation and sales on the planet. And people don't know it just because they perceive it as a resume, you know, platform, or, you know, the platform where people go and look for jobs. And the only reason is they think this is because they never really used it in a way. Nobody ever showed them a strategy where their head would just like explode. Like, oh my God. And when I talk to people, they're like, oh my God, what am I doing with Facebook? And I'm like, I have no idea what you're doing with Facebook. You're paying Facebook, or you're paying Google, or you're paying somebody to get you traffic, which is cold. People don't engage. People drop off. Like, instead of that, like, use LinkedIn. And then when I show them, they're like, why didn't I do this before? Like, I, you know, yeah. And I'm like, it's never too late to do it.
So generally speaking, where do you think the future of social networking is going? I mean, is it going to be all, because one of the things that Facebook did was that they decided that pages, right, even with your pages, your posts only get to like 1 or 2% of the people that are following you. Do you think that like most social media is going to be kind of going towards that, you know, maybe call it pay-per-click or pay-per-view or whatever, or what? What do you think is going to go on
there? Well, to be really honest, I kind of focus myself on one thing that works, because I have a philosophy where I think that you don't have to be great at everything. You need to be great at that one thing that you do. So I know about LinkedIn a lot. Mm-hmm. And the difference between Facebook and LinkedIn, and basically LinkedIn and all the other social media networks like Twitter and Instagram, Pinterest and Facebook, mm-hmm. is that it, you know, all of those social media networks are free to use. So in order to generate revenue, they had to figure out how to get, you know, some money in the company, because like Facebook has like, I don't know, 6 million users. So I don't even know. I'm probably a lot more, like million.
Yeah. I imagine it's in the billions by now. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But imagine having a platform where you have billions of people using it, but you don't generate money. You still have to raise funds from the, from the investors. I mean, that's really bad. So they needed to figure out a way how to start generating money. Right. And the best way to do it is to start, you know, charging people for traffic, of course. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn doesn't have to do that. And that's why it's so cool about LinkedIn, because LinkedIn has tiers, and it was always, for a long time, it has paid accounts where you can upgrade your account to get certain really cool features about search, about a lot of other things. You can do ads on LinkedIn as well, which are, I don't use them because they cost more than on Facebook. But the whole point with LinkedIn is that you don't have to use LinkedIn ads at all. Mm-hmm. So the whole business model of LinkedIn and other social media is completely different. I look at it from a perspective of a person that knows investors, of a person that understands that you need to build your business model and find the right business model coming from the startup world. I think that LinkedIn position himself, or like the whole platform, positioned itself really smartly, and they don't need to think of different things. I think that they got their model completely figured out, and they can only enhance different things. For example, instead of shutting down and giving people, you know, smaller amount of resources to work on a free account, they actually put some things, they changed a lot of things like two months ago. And now you have, as a free user, even more opportunities than you did before, because your model is awesome. And to be honest with you, I don't even pay LinkedIn for the accounts. So my leads and my strategy works for somebody that doesn't want to pay LinkedIn $99 per month. Does that make sense? So it's crazy. You can do all of that with completely just everything's completely free. How the social networking in general will go, I have no idea, but I guess that it's going to start going in the direction of how to monetize those huge networks, because it's just all of those, I mean, all of those companies are just companies. They need to start generating revenue. I mean, you can go and you can, you know, fundraise tons and tons of money, but eventually that investor is going to say, okay, guys, you just raised like $45 million or $40 billion. Wow. Like, when are you going to give us our money back? You have billion users. Like, when are we going to see the cash?
Right.
So LinkedIn has a, you know, it's a bit smaller network than Facebook, but it really is completely different than Twitter and Instagram, and their positioning is awesome. And I think that if they stay, for example, LinkedIn, if stays in this route, it will be awesome. Facebook is probably going to go in different direction, how to monetize more. LinkedIn is probably going to do that as well. But as I said, LinkedIn in the beginning doesn't have a problem with having free users. So it's, imagine that Facebook says, you know, from tomorrow, we're going to have three tiers of users. You know, if you want to use your account for business, you're going to have to pay $99 per month. If you want to use it just for your personal whatever, it can be free for you, but then you can't do business and whatever. So it's going to be really hard for example, Facebook to kind of find that business model as LinkedIn did, because people will just like go crazy if LinkedIn was to start to charge them just to have a business page. Does that make sense? Or if Facebook would say, oh, you know, you can use your personal accounts to just, you know, hang around with friends, but if you want to do anything else, you have to pay for it. And the reason why people would go crazy, because it's a personal network. They never expect to get paid for using Facebook as a platform. Mm-hmm. While on LinkedIn, it's okay because it's business. You know, it's a business tool. They have business accounts for salespeople. If you want to do more prospecting, if you want to do more lead generation, if you want to do this and that. So I'm even happy that they are completely different, because I don't see myself actually building my business on Facebook. I know there are a lot of examples of people that did it, but they also cashed in a lot of money to Facebook in order to get there. So,
truth. Cool. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So you've started teaching and coaching others on how to use LinkedIn. Have you always been teaching and coaching?
Well, I mean, I'm a yoga teacher as well.
Ooh, tell us more about that.
When I was doing the foundation and my motion design, at the same time, I was finishing my yoga teacher school. So I've been doing yoga for over 10 years. Then at one point, it's a huge part of my life, like meditation, like I meditate for like 2 hours a day at least. That kind of part of my life is really, like, self-development is really important. And I don't think I would do all the things that I did if I didn't have that kind of part figured out in my head, you know. And when I finished my yoga teacher training, I started to teach yoga as well. It's actually really, I feel really honored to be able to teach anybody anything. But as they say always in yoga, the best teacher is a student. So if you always learn from your students, if you're always humble and you always basically are open to learning from others, then you're a great teacher. And I always think that, you know, I don't like calling myself a teacher. Teacher is a person that somebody else is, you know, when somebody else comes and says, I consider this person a teacher, that's cool. I would never call myself a teacher. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Amazing.
Huh.
When somebody calls himself a teacher, like, or a whatever, then I get like, there's a lot of ego ties there. And then I'm always like, you know?
Yeah.
That's an interesting perspective. I, as someone that has the teacher personality, I have never, I guess, seen that as an authoritative position, but I can see what you're saying on that. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, and that's in that sense, what I just said is like a good teacher is a person who is forever a student, who's always teaching and always learning mm-hmm. from his students. And that's what I do when I teach my Nutripreneurs, the nutrition providers, when I teach them about business, when I teach yoga, when I teach people about LinkedIn. For me, it's always about, you know, give and receive, because there's no other connection that is healthy. You know, if you just give or if you just receive, it's not good. And it keeps your ego kind of in the right place, because you have to learn if you want to give that knowledge or share that knowledge. And you also need to be open to receiving other knowledge in order to give knowledge. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So what are any coaching tips or that you would, you might give to anybody that's starting off in coaching?
Well, I don't know if I'm in a position to kind of give tips and tricks for like coaching. It's not like I've been doing it for like years and years. I work really a lot on my instinct. Mm-hmm. And I really like to be focused on my students. Their kind of their results are really important for me, not from an ego perspective, but from perspective of a person that has been struggling. And every time when I succeeded in something, I was really, really happy, right? Mm-hmm. And when I see, for example, yoga is a really good example. So you have people that are non-flexible, that you know, they really want to go in some asana or some pose, and they really work hard, you know, to get to that position or whatever, and they are very disciplined, they work, you know, for months and months, and when they get to that position, which means something to them, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, a physical position, but that going into that physical position that actually means something to them, it has a meaning of achievement. And when they get to that place, I'm happy for them. It makes me happy. So the only tip that I can kind of share is to just like really work with people. Mm-hmm. In a sense of, sometimes you have to kick their ass, of course. Right. And you have to, so it depends. If I'm teaching yoga, I'm never going to kick somebody's ass, right? Because it wouldn't be, it could be potentially dangerous. but when I'm working with, for example, with entrepreneurs, they're completely different. Their mindset is completely different. Their motivation is completely different. And then they have a tendency to procrastinate, you know, and to find excuses and everything. And then I just kick their asses, because if I've been able to do everything that I've done with no resources and really just by being focused and disciplined, then anybody can do it, because I'm not a super person. You know,
right.
Everybody can do everything. That's why there's no excuses. You can do whatever you want. But then if you're either doing it or you're not doing it, there's no in the middle. Either do it or don't do it.
Right.
Because if you're not doing it, then you're not doing it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense what I just said?
That's a great philosophy. Love it. I love it. So
basically like a philosophy, every time if you don't say yes, you're actually saying no. That's the same thing.
All right.
If it's not a yes, then it's a no. It's not basically when it all boils down to if you want to really, you know, get to the skin and the bones of things, if you're not, you know, every non yes is actually a no. That's it.
That's awesome. That's really like an invigorating philosophy of teaching. It's pretty cool. Thanks for sharing that.
You know, I hope that my students are like, ah, she's like a crazy lady. She kicks our ass. She hates us. No, I'm really all about learning and listening to people, but also being ruthless when it needs to.
You're doing it out of like motherly love.
Something like that, maybe, yeah. Because I expect the same thing for myself. That's how I function. I don't like people petting me, right? I need somebody to tell me how things are. Because if somebody tells me how things really are, then I can do something about it. If somebody wants to pet me, then there's no room for progress, at least for me.
Right.
Sounds like that Western European mindset coming out a little bit.
It's pretty cool, in my opinion. So I know you don't like to give out tips and whatnot, but in your opinion, what personally for you works nutrition and body-wise? Could you share with us?
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes hard to kind of have, I mean, it's going to sound really stupid, but yoga actually means balance. So it's all about balance, right? It's all about balance in our life. So sleeping enough, which I don't do in the last couple of years, has been really hard, for example, to find enough time to sleep. Eating, for me, and personally, I'm a vegetarian. I can go into the reasons why I'm a vegetarian or why I'm not a vegetarian. But eating food that is, as you know, as least processed as possible, something, and you know what? One of the best tips that I think that I can give out is that you have to listen to your body. You know, whatever your body needs, it's your body needs it for a reason, right? So even if it's, you know, sometimes pizza, there might be a reason, like mental or emotional reason why you need it. But you also need to listen to all that, like veggies and all the other stuff that you're, that your body needs. So for me, the only way to kind of keep the balance is to try to get as much sleep as I can, to regularly go out and work out or do yoga and meditate. Like meditation would be like on the first list. Yeah. Like if I would rather not do anything, like, I would, if I need to decide between meditating and eating, I would probably go meditate first and then eat.
Wow.
Because it's like cleaning, like if you clean your teeth in the morning, meditation is like cleaning the mind.
Right.
Yeah. And it's the most important thing, at least for me in my life. I wouldn't want to go now and say, people, you don't need to eat. You just need to meditate. Every person is different. We all have different bodies. We all have different emotional, you know, emotional bodies, mental bodies, and really depends on the person. But for me personally, meditation is absolutely number one, the most important thing in my life. Everything else goes second. And that's nutrition for the mind, for the body as well. And as far as food goes, just, you know, listen to your body and try not to eat crap. That's it.
Perfect. You know, okay, so Myrna, so we'll have to talk a little later and talk a little more in depth. But it's pretty cool that you're saying that because my business is a mentorship practice related to spirituality and rituals and meditation. So we'll definitely would love to hear more about it from you. But you know, you mentioned them. You mentioned at the very beginning, when we first got together for this call, that you work late sometimes. Speaking about balance and whatnot, and how do you balance it all? You say that you know, you try to get as much sleep as possible, but clearly you definitely still work late sometimes. How does it all work for you?
Well, you know, you have good days and you have bad days.
Right.
I think for me, as I said, the whole point with balance is to, for me, the most important thing is to meditate because it keeps me sane and it keeps me in balance. That's the most important thing for me.
Right.
Because everything starts from our mindset, our mind, and then all the other things, basically, you know, people are sick because their mind is sick. It's, you know, the body is just like the last layer of, you know, something really saying that something is wrong. So for me, as I said, the three most important things is to try and sleep, you know, and kind of get the rest. Or if I can't do it because I'm working with people from the US, for example, sometimes I have calls at midnight my time, so it's not easy. But that's why for me, the decision to have one thing that is absolutely crucial and everything else is secondary. So that's one thing that I'm definitely going to do in the day, whatever happens. If, you know, if the world starts crashing down, you'll see me meditating on a rock.
That's awesome.
Because you need to have that when everything is completely hectic, you need to have that one thing. You don't have to have all the balance because it's really hard. I mean, we live crazy lives. I mean, look at how we're living. You can't have balance all the time in all of the three things like sleep and nutrition, and meditation and people, you know, I don't have kids. If I had kids, I would be probably crazy. But that's why I need to find one thing, just one thing that is absolutely crucial, that's on my first list, that gives me the most benefit and that basically gives me soul food. It nurtures me and it keeps me focused and keeps me, you know, in the right frame of mind, so on and so forth. So meditation, absolutely, that's the most crucial thing. And then all the other things come to balance eventually. You know, you either sleep a bit more on the weekends, or you make yourself a really good meal, or I find that half an hour in the day to cook myself a meal that's really, for example, important for me, that I eat warm food, for example. But if I meditate in the morning and before I go to bed, I make a cycle every single day and I balance myself as much as I can. Does that make sense? When I'm on a vacation, it's easy. Ask me about balance on vacation. But when you're working like crazy, I think that just one thing and sticking to that one thing and prioritizing that one thing is a lot. It's a big step, and it can do huge things for your life.
Awesome. So before we close here, I have one more question, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. Shoot it out.
So it sounds like that, you know, you're into like personal meditation and, you know, meditative awareness, whatnot. It looks like you're really big into personal development. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what would you say, what started you exploring personal development? What influenced you the most?
What influenced me or who influenced me the most?
Ooh, let's cover who later. What about what?
Okay, well, I think that for me, like when I was 5 years old, I had this crazy thought in my head that, you know, even when I die, that I'm still going to live, you know, in 2515.
Right.
So for me, the idea of like, you know, soul, maybe reincarnation, you can call it whatever you want, was always very, it all came very natural to me. I don't know, for some reason I was always open to kind of receiving energy impulses and so on and so forth. But of course it all started when I had a really bad episode in my life. When I was about 21 to 24, I really struggled with some personal things, and I just needed to, I was really depressed. I really had a lot of problems and I couldn't get out of that depression.
Wow.
And I started to actually do Reiki at that time. So I started to do Reiki and I started to do yoga, and I started to kind of get myself out of that, you know, mud, small steps at a time, you know, day by day. And then I realized that that's something that I really, not I wouldn't even say that I love to do. It's something that comes very natural for me as a person and kind of as an energy person as well. So, and after that, I started to do more Reiki and exploring more techniques and so on and so forth. And that's how it all started.
Wow. Wow. That's a deep story.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
No.
No problem.
Before we end every one of our awesome talks here, we always do this rapid fire question segment. And these are all the same. I might want to add one or take one off of the list per guest. But anyway, we have four that are currently big right now. And the first one of those four is, what are three things you'd want people to remember you by after hearing you on the show today?
That everything's possible, that you shouldn't give up, that dreams are in your grasp, and that you should meditate. And that I'm a nice Balkan person.
cool. Which is very rare, right?
No.
Yeah.
since coming into the entrepreneurial world very recently, just to include the group of business people you have, but over the years in general, who are three favorite teachers or experts that you have?
One person definitely who I just love, and he's a yoga teacher, actually. He's called Neil Barker. He's absolutely awesome. Like, I love that guy. I wasn't on a lot of his trainings, but he, for some reason, impacted me a lot as a person.
Wow.
And as a yoga teacher. Secondly, it would be Paolo de Nino Paris. So that's my spiritual teacher. He's not a spiritual teacher. He would never call himself that. He actually is running Institute for Personal Development in Italy.
Wow.
And he's so awesome. He's so funny that, as I said, he would never call himself a teacher. He is like the most influential person in the last 5 years for me, definitely. And then as business, well, in business, there are a lot of different people that influenced me a lot. It's really hard to just pinpoint one. But maybe I would say that Ramit Sethi would be one of the people that I would say. There were a lot of others like Jeff Walker and Russell Brunson and so on and so forth. But I would say Ramit is pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah, I Ramit definitely is has an interesting story himself, and just the fact that, you know, he kind of came from the very stoic slash engineered sort of background, very techie, to what he is now. I mean, that's, he's pretty cool guy. So
yeah,
he has a mindset like the Indians. Like, maybe it's all about like India that is very interesting for me. But basically, he's also like no BS guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he tells it like it is, and I love that.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people love about him. Yeah.
Yeah. The next question would be then, what is your definition of success and how do you go about achieving that success?
That's a great question. What is success for me? For me, success is when you wake up in the morning and your heart is filled with gratitude. And you are happy with the face of the person that you see next to you. And then you go on the beach and you surf, for example. I don't know how to surf, but that would be success. Like, that would be like the most important thing. Like, you know, you wake up and you are by the sea.
Mm-hmm.
That's success for me. Absolutely. In terms of like money, business, I think that's just like a result. More than anything else. Does that make sense? It's like a way for you. It's like a tool for you to get to that place of gratitude and understanding yourself and others and being open and being kind and so on and so forth, which is really hard. I mean, you have to, you know, we're not born with just like being kind and nice, and it sounds so new age philosophy, but I think it's really, really important. The success, I can basically put it in one sentence, to learn how to love yourself and how to love others.
Wow.
The most hardest thing to do, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you, Myrna.
Yeah, no problem.
Going back to what we've discussed previously about LinkedIn, what are three things that someone listening to the show today could do right away to leverage their LinkedIn account better as a creator?
Well, first of all, create a LinkedIn account.
Mm-hmm.
that would be number one.
Yeah.
Then optimize their profile by what their target market actually wants. Join groups of where their target market hangs out and create their own group. And there are at least two more things that they would need to do in order for LinkedIn to leverage on LinkedIn. But only doing those three things, just optimizing their profile by what their target market would like to see and to communicate their profile. Their profile needs to communicate basically with the target market.
Mm-hmm.
Joining groups where their target market is and start conversations. And basically the most important thing is to make your own group. And, you know, making a LinkedIn group is not about clicking the create group button, because that's the easiest thing. There are a lot of things that you need to do and to prepare and to understand what you're going to do with the LinkedIn group. But every single business person or marketer in the world, if you don't have a LinkedIn group, you're missing out on amazing opportunities. I don't even know how people don't understand that. I have to be honest with you guys. Mm-hmm. So those are like three things.
So, and they'll find out the rest in your upcoming course. So,
absolutely. They're cool. Going to learn everything.
Yep. So thanks again for coming on today. And if people want to find out about your course or more about you, how can they go about doing that?
Well, they can just contact me at this point on Myrna@batroonmonkeygmail.com. Maybe we can give them somewhere and write it down for them mm-hmm. after the podcast is over. So at this point, you can get me there or you can find me on LinkedIn, Myrna Batroon. That's it.
Cool.
The most easier way. Let's use the network.
Right. Awesome.
Myrna, I'd love to connect with you on LinkedIn. Would that be all right?
Absolutely.
Send me
an invite. Come to my world.
All right.
Well, appreciate you being on again today, and we'll
thank
talk
you for
soon.
Having me, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Myrna. Again, the best way to contact her is through LinkedIn. However, if you want to reach her in the future, you'll be able to do so through MyrnaBakoon.com when it comes out. If you're interested in getting a great deal off of her course when it comes out as well, or in the future when it's already there, you can go to newinceptions.com/LinkedInLeads30. As of this recording, Mayer has a case study there about what the course will be able to do for you, and in the future, using that affiliate link will get you 30% off of her normal price. No matter how you look at it, I think it's a pretty good deal. I mean, considering this is a proven product, and you'll be essentially getting free marketing through your future community and saving who knows how much in ads and Facebook and Twitter. I mean, what are you going to be saving? Hundreds? Thousands? Do the math and then go register for the course. As you know, if you'd like to subscribe for free to this podcast, you can do so via iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Instructions to do that are in the show notes, which this session's show notes happens to be newinceptions.com/session18. As far as this week's show notes extras go, I wanted to share a few relevant links to our conversation today. However, the first thing I want to share is a picture of my new mic setup that includes an Audio-Technica AT-875R, a Mackie Onyx Blackjack recording interface, and an 8-stand. Also, there's a book in there, Ask by Ryan Levesque. You might want to read that book. Eventually, I think I'll be able to make a video based on my entire setup and how I go about hosting the show and uploading and all the little, you know, things that I do to get it all ready. Back to the conversation with Mir, you can tell that she is a huge fan of meditation. And actually, over a year ago, I heard Pat Flynn mentioning that he can't meditate without a certain piece of equipment called Muse. I'll share his review of it, and if you're really interested in meditating and for some reason struggle with accomplishing it, Muse might be a good buy for you. So I'll have the link up of episode 2 of the SBI TV show on the show notes as well. Also, we talked in detail about the foundation earlier in the podcast. If you want to find out more about Dana Maxwell and Andy Drish's program, I'll have a couple videos that give you an idea of what it's all about. I also have a link to their podcast. If anything, I'd say the foundation is the boot camp to Fizzle's volunteer program. If you need some strong motivation to get a business going, they'll make sure of it. Next week's show, Brian and I will be sitting down with Brian and Francielli Daly. Brian is a business coach, and Francielli runs her own site called fulltimemom.org. While we talked about many things in the show, I think the biggest thing I got out of it was how they approach life and their businesses together. He helps her, she helps him. That's not something you rarely do when both people are tied up in 9-to-5 jobs. So if you've been wondering what some of the benefits of having a husband and wife tandem in business might be, I think you'll get some insight into that life next week. So in the meantime, head on over to show notes found at newinceptions.com/session18, and also feel free to add yourself to our already existing community at newinceptions.com/Facebook Masterminder. And yes, before too long, I'll have the LinkedIn one up for you guys to join as well. I'll let you know how you can do that once I have it going. And also be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. As you know, it means a lot to not only us, but our guests and future listeners of the show. We really appreciate you guys and for listening. And if it wasn't for you, I mean, you guys, the audience, sharing our show and letting other people know, we wouldn't be where we are. So again, thank you. And so I think that's it. Session 18 is finished. And so get on over and check out the show notes, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web at newinceptions.com.